look at how we link between the roles that we want to play, the roles that we have identified, and the right place that we want to go to, the right place that we see for ourselves, that we want to achieve, the goals that we have, the point that we want to end up at.
Ambivalent relationships are very dangerous. This is where you don't know where you stand with the person, where it's you're a little bit in no man's land. You see each other, then you don't see each other, then out of the blue you see each other again, and it's kind of just going nowhere, and those are very dangerous.
But if it's the other way around and you walk away there and like, yo, this was great, I'm going to do this, this and that, I need to connect him with X, Y and Z, I need to set up the following meeting already, then that is an energizing meeting. And
it's to every goal that you have for 2025, you must write who. Who is going to help you with this goal? Who do you need to talk to about this goal? Who do you need to sign up with to achieve this goal?
Before we start this podcast, I've got one little favor to ask you. Can you please hit the subscribe button down below so we can help more people every single week? Thank you. G'day and welcome to the Right Place podcast. My name is Rudolf Rotenbach, and as normal, I've got John Watson with me. John, how's it going on your side?
Going great, Rudolf. Great start to 2025 so far. Enjoying the great weather here in Cape Town. And yourself?
That's going well. I think you sent your winter weather to us. It's been raining. It is our rainy season on this side, so it's been good fun seeing the plants grow and everything being wet. But apart from that, eased into the year a little bit on my side. Getting going slowly, meeting up with some new guys and picking up all the ropes of last year again. But all good fun. John, we want to start today discussing a little bit about relationships. And last time we introed this thing, we actually started with it last year, of saying that your right place is the intersection between your roles, your relationships, and your environments. And last week, we discussed a little bit about your roles and different roles that we have to take up and the responsibilities within that. And I think we focused a lot on saying no as well in terms of these roles that we sometimes pick up that we shouldn't take. Today, we want to delve into relationships and discussing a little bit about how relationships can help you to build these different roles, how it can help you to ensure that you grow in your role and that certain relationships pick you up and other relationships potentially drain you a little bit. What's your take on relationships in general, business-wise, personal, community relationships, and so on?
I think relationships are obviously incredibly important. I think it's important to understand that as much as everyone wants to be a self-made man or self-made woman, you need people around you. You need someone to help you along the way. You need people to open doors for you. You need people to encourage you. So you need different people during different seasons of your life or different phases of your life as you're trying to achieve different things or build a business. So you can't necessarily make it alone. You can use AI until you're blue in the face, but you're going to need some other people eventually, some other people to show you the ropes or some other people to learn from. And I think it's really important, especially when everything is so digital and AI focused and everything, that if you have a few key relationships that you can depend on and people that you can also add value to, then you can really step up and find your right place a lot quicker than trying to do things by yourself or just ignoring people and just trying to wing it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I think the relationship part is crucial, and it's actually the focal point within how we do business. You can't ever say really that you are a self-made man. I've got an issue with that saying because I understand the background behind it, that you didn't come from money and you were the first maybe in your family tree to actually make it. But you can never make it alone. And relationships don't only go with people that can take you somewhere or can do something for you or so on. But relationships also spread to the customer. The relationship spreads to within your team and then definitely within professional areas as well, but you're also at home. So there's no man that is an island, no person that can be fully independent on his own and achieve whatever he wants to achieve. I think that is something that we need to get out of our heads very quickly and try and see which of these roles, the responsibilities that we have, which of those areas spill into relationships. But the other way around as well, because if you don't have a relationship with someone, they can just as well leave. They can just as well go and you can get the next person and the next one. And I always joke around and say, we are just a number because we can all be replaced by someone. But if you have a professional and a personal relationship with someone, it's that much more difficult to just replace because there's this bond, there's this intrigue, there's this personal connection with someone that you can't just get away from. So yes, there's work to be done. There's things to be said and to be handled. But at the end, the relationship is what makes it human and what makes the interaction between us so important. And I think that relationship building part is that connection between making it and just taking day-to-day tasks and fostering it and driving processes and so on. And that human connection is actually what links those two things together, in my view.
No, absolutely. I also think it's important to remember that relationships go through different seasons. So you might have had excellent relationships with certain people in 2023 and 2024, but now it's the new year. And where do those relationships stand now? And how are you going to invest in them? Or how are you going to see people more or see people less? And how is it going to impact your roles? How's it going to impact your goals that you have for 2025? And like we said with roles, it's important to reflect on that now. Don't just think everything's going to be exactly the same as last year and you can just wing it, or you can invest little time, effort, and energy in other people and everything's going to be fine. Because as much as you have changed and you've gone through things in 2024 and are looking to do things in 2025, the other people around you, the people that you connected with, are also doing the same. Maybe they feel, look, I don't want to hang out with John anymore, or I really need to see a lot more of Rudolph this year. And it's important to almost have that two-way communication about that, that you can then invest in the right relationships, that you're on the same page with this person, you want to spend time with them, you want to invest in them, they want to invest in you, and then you can build something together. And it might just be you build a cool relationship. You can bounce off ideas with each other, you can share secrets, you can share ideas, and you can really have a bumper 2025 because you've got a couple of the right people in your corner. And I think you're going down the road of I'm in the right roles and I've got the right relationships, and that's going to really help you find your right place a lot faster, I think, or you'll be a lot more comfortable in the place that you end up because you've got this almost like support network around you. So it should, the relationships, and I think maybe that's the overarching theme for today, is the right relationships should enhance your ability to perform in the roles that you've chosen to focus on this year. None of these relationships that you're in should be taking away from that. If they are, I think it's obviously the wrong thing, or you're too invested in a person or too close to something, and it's going to negatively affect you. And I think it's important to be aware of that. These relationships are dynamic. They are ever moving. You're either moving towards a person or you're moving away from them, or you had a good season with someone and maybe you almost need to let them go and they must do their own thing and figure things out. You're still like cool by association or connected on LinkedIn or whatever. So you need to reflect that it's not just going to be the same as always. There is going to be ups and downs, ebbs and flows in the relationship space. So be mature about that. Reflect on that and then kind of build up a little bit of a strategy, which we'll get to later in the pod, about what am I actually going to do this year. Do you agree with that?
Very much. I read during the week that someone said, if you do not change anything from last year to this year, the only thing that changed is the date. So you're going to take all that baggage, all that hard work, all the effort, all the bad relationships, as well as the good ones, with you into the new year. And nothing actually will change. So I think it's good to stand still at the moment and think about, firstly, we set the roles. and how to take those roles and to look at the relationships that we do have. And it might not be, as you said, such a conscious decision to say, listen, these are the five relationships that I want to work at and so on and so on. Because the other person might not be in the same space as you. And thus it does flow naturally. It is it's a natural occurrence where at some stage you'll be best buddies and then you'll have a little bit of an absence and it'll flow. But if the relationship is strong, it will survive that. If it is a forced relationship, it won't. It won't survive those type of things because people will become more and more distant. But what is important here is that we look at how we link between the roles that we want to play, the roles that we have identified, and the right place that we want to go to, the right place that we see for ourselves, that we want to achieve, the goals that we have, the point that we want to end up at, and the roles that we're playing in that, and how the relationships that we do have and that we need to have in our lives, how they play a part in that, and to go and identify those. And I mean, to build those type of relationships is so easy these days because people only have a limited amount of time to spend socially. And thus you can, by being a nice person, a good guy, just talking, reaching out, assisting, giving help, and so on, you can start very quickly to be noticed, to drive attention, but also to build that relationship and to get to know a person a little bit better. I think it's very important that we actively drive relationship because otherwise the relationship will be driven for us and that you might end up not reaching that goal that you had for yourself for the year, and the roles that you want to play and that you want to invest in during the year will not happen because the relationships will be picked on your behalf almost.
Yeah, I think that's very important. I attended the goal setting webinar with Vanessa Van Edwards, which was absolutely excellent. And she said, next to every goal that you have for 2025, you must write who. Who is going to help you with this goal? Who do you need to talk to about this goal? Who do you need to sign up with to achieve this goal? So you need relationships should be tied to your goals. But also, sure. I think you must remember that it's a two-way street as well. You cannot just take from people. You cannot just say, I want to be Rudolf's friend and I just want to extract all the contacts or information or free advice out of Rudolf. That's just not going to work. People are going to see straight through that and you're just going to ignore people. And I mean, we've had to make some calls and just ignore certain individuals who just want to take from you. So you need to be mature about that. And I mean, the year end and the new year is the perfect time to kind of draw those lines in the sand, like, I'm just not going to entertain this person. So I think it's important to reflect on that. And we keep saying that you've got to reflect on this stuff. Otherwise, like you said, you're just going to end up having the same year as last year and be like, I'm just not getting anywhere. I'm not at my right place. I'm not fulfilled in my roles. And I mean, it's going to come down probably to your relationships. Who are the company that you keep? Who are the people that you chat into? Who are the people that you're connecting with? And investing in. But I think before we get too negative, I think it's important to start with what relationships energize you and how can you deepen them in 2025? So you need to identify the people that inspire you and challenge you in a positive way. And I think like we maybe reflected on with the roles pod, who are these people that are maybe slightly ahead of you? They just one or two steps ahead in terms of the corporate ladder or in terms of how they're building their business and that, and you've maybe got a connection with them already. How can you nurture that relationship? Because they're going to drag you along and keep you motivated to achieve more in the role that you've chosen for yourself. So if you find these energizing people and people that you love to spend time with, invest in those people. Go where they go, comment on their stuff on LinkedIn or other social media channels. And how can you strengthen those connections? Because I think those are the key relationships that can really carry you through. And these aren't necessarily 10 or 20 relationships. Maybe I think we're just talking about two or three key people here that if you are connected to them and invested in the relationship, I think you're going to get a lot of benefit out of it.
Yeah, sure. It's much the same as what we said under the roles part is that certain roles give you this energy. And when you leave, after playing that role, after fulfilling the task that you had to do, you feel like you've achieved something, you feel ready for the next task and so on. And it's the same in relationships. If you meet with someone and you walk away and you almost sigh, like, thank heavens, this is over. It's not energizing. It doesn't give you that same momentum. It doesn't drive you. And you'll probably not be as happy to say yes to the following meeting. But if it's the other way around and you walk away there and like, yo, this was great. I'm going to do this, this and that. I need to connect him with X, Y, and Z. I need to set up the following meeting already. Then that is an energizing meeting. And it's something that drives you towards wanting to work with this person, to learn more. And then to add to that maybe is there's this personal aspect as well. I find that a lot of times it's very task orientated and I leave there and I've got a bunch of work to do, but I didn't get to know the person on the other side. And I'm very much someone who likes to know the people that I work with. And I like to find out how they're doing, who's the other people in their family, who they know, what sport they like, since I like sport as well, and to find some common interest there. And I find that people that have interesting things in their life attract me, and that energizes me, and it forces me almost, it gets me to go and research and check it out and see what they're all about and how that works. And that gives you this natural energy that pushes you forward. And I think if you find those type of relationships, it's something to foster and something to continue building on. And maybe a bit of a caveat on that is that we cannot do that with 100 people. We don't have the time. We don't have the ability to maintain that level of relationship with so many people. But we can do it with a group of people around us. And like you said, if it's people that you can learn from and that you can aspire to grow towards, that is even better, because then you learn new things. You climb this ladder and you continue building a deeper relationship because you want to get to know this person better. And I think that you'll know when you feel that energy, when you get it, it comes naturally and you'll know immediately that this is something that you want to aspire towards and continue driving. And likewise, you get relationships that drain you, that saps the energy out of you. I don't know, John, if you know some of those experiences and want to tell us a bit about those.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's the flip side of the coin here. You go from very high energy relationships where you can talk for 2 or 3 hours about anything and everything under the sun to having relationships where it's either a one-sided relationship where you're doing all the investing or the following up or something like that, or the other person just takes from you. They only contact you when they need something or they want to extract information the whole time. So you don't know what is their motive. You don't know if they're using you, they're using your connections, or if they're up to no good. And I think I've definitely been the victim of some of those relationships in the past. And you don't always figure it out immediately. You maybe meet up a couple of times or you see some people at events. And then you get that uncomfortable feeling like, I actually don't like where this is going, or I'm not too sure where we stand actually. And again, this is something that Vanessa Van Edwards spoke about in her goal setting webinar, where she said ambivalent relationships are very dangerous. This is where you don't know where you stand with the person, where it's you're a little bit in no man's land. You see each other, then you don't see each other, then out of the blue you see each other again, and it's kind of just going nowhere, and those are very dangerous. And I think it's important right in the beginning of the year to set these boundaries, to kind of say, look, I don't want to spend time with this person. I need to focus on certain things. I want to be a lot more productive. And this person, unfortunately, doesn't fit in that bracket. And you just tell them, and you might need to be cruel to be kind and say, look, I'm sorry, we can't meet. I'm focused on this. And I did post about this, I think sometime last year or the year before, when I said, if you don't want to see someone, just tell them, look, I'm having a very productive week and I don't have any space available. So you're not slapping them through the face, but you're telling them, look, you do not fall in my productivity plans for this week. And it might be a bit of a reckoning for them, and they might take it badly. But I mean, you've got to be a little bit firm. You've got to control your time. You've got to set your boundary. Otherwise, again, like we've said a few times today, you're going to make those same mistakes again. And then also realize, did this relationship run its course? Is it just a
No.
relationship that came out of one event or working together, and we kind of gone in two separate paths? You might have gone in a different path. They might have gone in a different path. So then you need to step back and say, look, I respect this person. I'm not going to force anything to happen here. And if we see each other, we see each other type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. You literally, like you said earlier, you cannot have these high energy, high impact relationships with 100 people. So make your tight five or your top 10 the people that you actually want to spend time with, and that you don't mind investing in. And I think that's how you can really build proper relationships in 2025.
Yeah, it's interesting. I see this thing in front of me now where I think we're dealing a lot with old relationships, relationships that already exist in our lives, and we need to sift them into two groups, the ones that energize us and the ones that drain us, and then make a call as to whether these relationships actually count for something that we need to work on and drive and so on. And might not just be based on those two factors, but if they are draining, but you need them in your life, maybe get a way to get them to energize you. Find something that's you can have in common and build a relationship and work on that to become an energizing relationship. But there's also new relationships, and new relationships need to be aligned to the goals that we have set for ourselves. Now, in the series, the small series that we are doing now, we're talking a lot about getting to our right place and using relationships, roles, and the environments that we are in to get to that right place. And the right place is the goals that we have set ourselves for this year. But we are gonna need specific relationships to get to that place. And as you've said before, you cannot do that if you are aiming lower. You need to aim to build a relationship that moves you up. And to do that, you need to find people that have that experience, that's been through that mill before, and that you can learn from. And that could potentially introduce you to other people that can assist you in the task that you have in front of you for this year. So there's a lot of work to be done to identify, firstly, the right relationships, and secondly, to engage and build and drive this to not just be a taker, to not be that person that drains someone else that they want to cut out of their lives, but to actually give value, to give people some sort of a sense that you can contribute to this relationship as well. And I think if we can identify that, those individuals, and also how we can participate and how we can involve them in our decision making without looking like we just here for the ride and just begging from them for their time, but also to give them something, then I think we've got the right blend of people and the right person in mind. But if you cannot link that individual and that relationship towards the goals that you are have in mind for the year, it's almost a senseless relationship, because where's it going to take you? We need to be in a place where we know what the end goal is and where we want to go with this, and then start building the relationship actively so that you can unlock the mutually beneficial value from that relationship.
No, absolutely. I think if I look back at my 2024, it was all about connecting up. It was about reaching higher, connecting higher, and that definitely happened because it was intentional. I want to meet people ahead of me. I don't just want to talk to people on my level or lower levels. That kind of they haven't got anything that you aspire to necessarily, and that might sound very cruel, but I mean, I've got my own goals and dreams that I want to achieve. I've got things that I want to do, and now I've connected up. Now it's 2025 is about reaching those people in terms of investing in them. And the fastest way to almost accelerate a relationship with people is to add value to them. And I think we'll get to some strategies shortly, but if you're adding value to this person or inviting them to things or sharing quotes or books with them or something, they're going to take notice of you. They're going to give you the time of the day. They're going to say yes to a Zoom meeting or to a coffee catch up or something like that. You can't just necessarily come in cold, especially if it's a new relationship. I mean, I met some really cool people in November last year. There wasn't much time to have a coffee and have a 3-hour lunch meeting or stuff like that. December was just too mad. So now it's that time of the year where, okay, it's a fresh year, giving these people space, but I've got a bit of a couple of names on my radar list to say, okay, I really need to sit down with this person, just shoot the breeze a bit, see where they stand. And that's going to take some time. It's not just going to fall out of the sky. And also it's important to listen to them. Listen to what they are talking about. And if it aligns with you, then like double down on that. But if you pick up, oh, this guy's on his own tangent, I really can't add value, or he's going to be traveling a lot, or he's focused on things that are way out of my depth, then take a hint and say, look, I'm just going to step back a bit. I'll stay connected to this person. I'll add value where I can, but I don't think we'll be able to have that relationship that I necessarily need or want to achieve my goals for 2025. So again, you need to read the room continuously. You need to pay attention. You need to listen to what the other person is saying. Otherwise, you're going to ignore the signals and you might even make a fool of yourself because you're going after the same thing or you're going in a different direction that this person is clearly not interested in going. So that dynamic feedback, communicating with the person, seeing what they're talking about on social media. People are very open about their goals and dreams for the year. Okay, pay attention to that stuff. If it's not really going to align, then like we discussed with the misaligned roles, which is really risky. Misaligned relationships can really waste your time. You can really waste the other person's time as well, and you don't really want to do that. You want to be in those right relationships that's going to work both ways.
So how do we then go about auditing almost the relationships that we do have and ensuring that we build on the active ones and the ones that energize us and the ones that link us to our goals at the end of the year, but also to foster these new ones and to get into a space where we actually build new relationships actively in line with what we want to achieve this year. So maybe to start off with from our side is that we need to go back to 2024. You need to look at not the maybe last year, but to look at the active relationships in our current lives, where we are at the moment, because this year just started. We do have active relationships. And I think if you go about it, you'll write down 100 or more names of people that you have strong and maybe average relationships with, but there's a lot of people in our lives. And maybe a few practical things to go and see how those people fit in is to say, who helped us the most? Who helped us to grow? Who didn't help us to grow? Who actually limited my growth? Who actually prevented me from achieving what I wanted to achieve, or to who distracted me, who just took time with me, from me, and didn't actually help me to achieve anything. And then also to look at how we can connect more with people in our lives. Is it a case of just throwing time at it, or is there something where you can add value, or where people just randomly added value to your life, and meaning that they potentially aspire to learn from you, or that they know what you're about and they want to link you with someone, or just give because they are that type of person. So maybe just reflect on the people in our lives to go and sift and say, listen, where is it that I'm getting energy from, that I'm getting value from, and that I can happily give some of my time, because the time, as we said, is a big commodity these days for us. But because we have limited amounts of time available, those relationships that we foster need to be actively giving value in the bit of time that we do have. Is there something that you want to add maybe in reflection of our past relationships, John?
I think it's important to check in with those people in terms of what is their goals for 2025. So before you tell them what you want to do and all that, listen to what they have to say. And ask them, look, how did last year go? What's on your radar for this year? Because that will tell you a lot about where the relationship can go. So I really think it's important to listen. Observe them. What are they talking about on social media? And that's going to give you insights into where their head is at. And then think back, okay, yo, this person, I really want to hold on to them. I'm going to invest in them. I really like what they're doing. I think I can make a contribution. And your contribution might not necessarily be money or I'm going to be their client, but you just might be encouraging them, or you can connect them with some cool people. So always look at how can I contribute to this relationship still? But then also think about the new relationships or the people that you haven't even met yet. You've seen them online. Okay, how do I connect with this person? And remember, the connection always comes before the relationship. So how am I going to connect to this person? Am I going to see them at an event? Am I going to DM them on LinkedIn? Am I going to comment regularly on their posts? And where's that going to lead? And what's the ultimate goal here? And to be honestly open with the people. Say, look, I really like what you're doing. It's really, really cool. So don't necessarily ask for, oh, can we meet up, or can I invite you to a Zoom meeting? Just tell the person that you like what they're doing. That is very encouraging to see. I mean, I've received some DMs where people have said, oh, I like what you said on the pod, or I saw you and Rudolf at the event and it was so cool to meet. And that is really, really cool feedback. And that kind of plants a seed in your mind that there might be something there. So establish a good connection there without asking for anything, or say, please buy my stuff, or will you invest in my startup, or things like that. That's really going to torpedo the relationship quite quickly. But I think for 2025, think smaller. Don't think I need to speak to 100 people. Make a list of 5 to 10 people, put it on your screen, on your laptop screen, or as a reminder, and check in with these people. I think that is really going to be how you test the waters in terms of the relationship. And I mean, that list is also dynamic. It might change. Maybe 2 or 3 months in, you're like, this isn't quite working, or I'm just going to put this person on the B list and I'll check in them every 6 months. These other people I'm going to keep on the A list, I'm going to monitor them a lot more closer. And I think that's where it becomes practical. So you need a bit of a schedule, a little bit of a strategy to just wing it. I think you give away responsibility for the relationship. And I've always said, you are equally as responsible for the relationship as I am. You can't say, oh, this person never phones me. It's like, well, when do you phone them? Do you ever comment on their stuff? Do you ever send them an email or just a word of encouragement? It literally works both ways. And people forget that. They're like, yo, I just want to sit back and people must come to me and tell me how great I am. I'm like, well, dude, that's really not how life works. You need to understand that it works both ways. So that must be like top of mind. This works both ways. And if I'm the one giving the whole time and I'm not getting much back, okay, maybe we'll just slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, very much so. If we can make it practical, John, so for this year, since we are still relatively at the beginning of this year, how do you go about it practically to ensure that you have these relationships identified and starting to establish them properly?
Yeah, I think there's three key things that you can do. And like with the Roles podcast, where we said you must practice it, you must perform it, and you must perfect it. For the relationships one, I think the most important one is to show up. If you've got a key relationship and they're busy doing something, or there's a launch, or they're at an event, show up. Take some time out of your day, show up, greet them there, support them, post about your experience at their event or something like that. That really just puts you out there as, and it's good for your visibility, but it shows like public support for this person that you showed up, and it was clearly it's not what's in it for me. So I think this is a valuable thing. I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna do it. And I think that carries a lot of weight. Because it's easy to say, oh, good luck with your event, but it's totally different to show up. or to show up to their launch, or to support them when they're doing a TED talk or something like that. And I think that people will remember when you show up. The second one is say their name. I can't quite remember the quote now, but it's something like the best time to hear your name is in rooms that you weren't in, where people have said, oh, yes, man, Rudolph's such a cool friend. He connected me with this person and that. And people are like, hey, tell me a bit more about Rudolph. So if you've got these high-quality connections and they've helped you out, or you're in a good space with them, then tell other people about that. Because that, I really believe there is this universal force that is at work when we are mentioning the good things that people do when they're not around. It's easy to pat someone on the back right in front of you. But if you've got an opportunity to say, oh, Rudolph's such a great guy, or I met this guy, Paul, people are like, oh, no, tell me more about that. And that just kind of spreads their fame a little bit. And I think it might come back to them and say, hey, sure, man, this guy contacted me and he said you did, you said this or that about them. That's really cool. Thank you so much for that. And then the last one is surprise people. Give them a gift, a book, a recommendation on LinkedIn, something exclusive or cool that will make them feel good about it, good about themselves and good about your relationship. People like surprises. People like receiving gifts. And if it's something thoughtful or a book or a quote or something like that, that's going to stick with them, because you might meet them in a moment where they just needed that little bit of encouragement. And again, it's not what's in it for me. I really believe this is doing the right thing at the right time in the relationships. And you do this regularly or often, this is how you're going to nurture that relationship. And again, it's this, I mean, we haven't talked about you must have a weekly coffee session or set up a monthly Zoom or anything like that. These are some of the lesser done things that can really nurture the relationship and prevent it from being a, hi, can you please help me with this? Because that is where the relationship can become stale if you're just contacting people ask them. What do you think?
Yeah, very good. I as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking we must put this in the show notes so that people can go back to them and actually copy it out, because I think it's such a valuable practical lesson in terms of just doing things that should actually be natural. It should be as human as that. And it's such easy things, but we never think about it. So I think that's very valuable, John. To start the year off, before we get into that, is to set yourself up is maybe to go and try and identify 3 or 5 new connections that you want to establish, and then 3 relationships that you want to go deeper in. So if I take the example of me and you, we're growing in this relationship every time, and it's an active relationship, but there's still space actually to get to know each other better, to add more value to each other, to drive the process further. So go and find 3 of those. And then, like my friend Hannes Nienaber does, and I mentioned it last year on one of the podcasts as well, he'll phone me 2 or 3 times a week, which is a lot, but identify 2 or 3 people that you will actually call, that you will actively drive that relationship. Not just, it's an established relationship, it's something that has mutual benefit for both, but that you just ensure that you have that connection. So we can make a list of those 3 categories of people almost and actively participate in driving that relationship. So it's 3 new ones, 3 that you want to go deeper into, and 3 where you're just building connections through talking to each other every now and then. So, I mean, it's 9 people. Some of them might overlap a bit, but very easy way to just go into. And the things that you mentioned is actually is to really cement that relationship. And it's such easy things to do, John. And I almost feel ashamed that I haven't done this in the past, because we can do it. And some of it you do and some of it you don't. But if we have it now, we have that information, we can actively go about it. And I think that is the important part. It's not just to hear it and to think about it a bit, but to take it as part of the things that I want to achieve this year and to make it part of the DNA that I carry. When people see me, they must know, oh yeah, if you're gonna climb in bed with Rudolph, he's gonna phone you once a week. Or yeah, I'm just making an example, but you understand where I'm going with it. And I think we should be known for that. We should be known as active relationship builders with people that that give, because we don't want to just be there when we have a need, but when someone else has a need and we can help, that we are active in that.
No, excellent. I think it's important that people reflect on 2024 and like, maybe I just took my foot off the petrol. I didn't do enough. Mm-hmm. And it's not about doing like overcompensating now and sending people flowers every week. It's about doing these little small things on a consistent basis. And it's the consistency. Yes, it's easy to start 2025 with a bang, because it's new energy, new year, everyone's happy and positive, and the Proteas have done well in the cricket, and it's a lack of vibe again. But like, what happens in March, April, or in the winter months, or so I want you to encourage the people, do things consistently and schedule it and almost have your own CRM system or list system or strategy system that you can check in with these people on a regular basis, so that it keeps that connection warm, but also that building into the relationship. And really that at the end of 2025, you can stand back and say, oh, these key three or four relationships carried me through the year. And we went from point A to point B, and we grew and we're tighter and we know each other more. And I learned a lot and I invested. And you keep your side of the bargain very clean, because you did your best. If you're just going to sit back and expect people to fall out of the sky, people have got their own lives. People have got their own strategies, their own goals for the year. And if you don't quite fit into that, or you show that you're more of a taker, or that you're not interested in investing, well, they're going to cut you out. Sure. So it's important that this is a dynamic situation. This is something that you need to check the temperature continuously, consistently. And that's going to inform, okay, where do I need to add value? Where do I need to step back? Where do I need to step up? And I really think the relationship building part can carry you to your right place, because I'm in my right roles. I've got the right people around me. I'm building these key relationships. I'm working on my business, not just in my business. The people around me are helping me work on my business. I'm learning from them. I'm seeing what they're doing. I'm helping them with what they've got going on. And I really, really think this is the year to do that and to just hit it out the park. There's so much literature on this. I mean, we've got a podcast on this, but there's so much free resources and amazing books on this. It's really time to be an active relationship builder in 2025.
Yeah, I think we've made some strong points here, and we can almost go into a debate, but it needs to be practical. And if you're not going to spend 5 or 10 minutes thinking about how you're going to implement in your own life, it's not going to happen. So, and I think that for me is the takeaway today, is to yes, go and do the little bit of an audit, but to, for the year that's coming, go and identify how you're going to work on these relationships and write it down and make the list of the names and identify what you're going to do with who. And as you said, it might change, but at least start with something so that you don't have nothing in place. And it can morph and adjust and change during the year. But do the hard work now. Take a piece of paper and actually do it. And then actively drive those relationships. Otherwise, other people's relationships are going to spill over and you're going to be the one that's being driven into a direction. And I think that's what we want to prevent for ourselves, to be the leader in the relationship, to be the driver of that, and to ensure that the relationship goes in the direction that you need it to go to.
Excellent. No, Rudolph, thanks. It's been a fascinating discussion. As always, really appreciate your inputs and your wisdom on this. I really hope the listeners are going to find value out of this. We've got a final part of this series where we'll be talking about environments. We've covered roles, we've covered relationships now. So the environments one will be coming out in a couple of weeks' time. So look forward to that. And I think we'll probably summarize this in a nice document or a couple of key points or posts on LinkedIn that people can make it really, really practical for themselves. And Rudolf, thanks so much. Ladies and gentlemen, please connect with us on LinkedIn. Check out our link trees as well, with all of our links to other stuff that we're busy with. Rudolf, have a great week further.
Thanks, John. Same to you. And see you again at the right place.